People of West Kirby United Reformed Church and wider community, Andy Kind here. Some of you will know me. I've been to your place twice and had an amazing time. I so enjoyed doing Hidden in Plain Sight for you just before lockdown. I think it was my last gig before I was banned from doing any live comedy or performance. And my stage work is basically gone now for the next 12 months, which means I've been reduced to producing videos like some kind of high-tech hostage. But hopefully, I've got a talk this morning for you on Pentecost Sunday, which will be helpful, substantive, and a blessing. And it's on the Apostle Peter. I hope you're doing okay during this lockdown, though. I hope you are just about coping. I think I'm okay. I broke the world record for most times opening a fridge in the space of an hour. Most of my shoes think I've been murdered. I started referring to 3 months ago as back on old earth, and I don't remember what trousers are. But apart from that, I'm doing really, really well. Now, this morning's talk for you is on the Apostle Peter. In Acts chapter 2, at Pentecost, God pours out his spirit, and it's unprecedented, like the times that we live in. Unprecedented, a move of God's Spirit like people had never seen before. People are staggering around. Amidst this chaos and confusion, one man stands up perfectly calmly and in a very loud and clear voice announces that the kingdom of heaven has come and describes clearly and systematically what it is that God is doing and how people need to respond. And that guy is the Apostle Peter. He says that all those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's a very bold statement for a human being to make. All those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And after his preaching, 3,000 people were added to the church. The church basically began at Pentecost, and it began with one man preaching the gospel. Today's talk is called 1-0 down, 2-1 up, because the story of Peter is not your classic hero. If you like, the subtitle of this is The Fall and Rise of the Apostle Peter. And as we go through, I think you'll see that he was actually a massive failure and at times a coward and at times lazy. But he's the man upon whom Jesus built his church. And so the message for us this morning is that you are never written off. You are never forsaken, and the best with Jesus is always yet to come. So I'm going to read a couple of verses from Peter's first letter, from 1 Peter chapter 1. The words will be on the screen, and then we'll carry on with the talk. I hope that you find this encouraging and challenging. If you don't, well, please don't contact me. I've got my own life to live. Just move on with your life. But I hope it's a blessing to you. I hope you enjoy it. And so here we go. 1-0 down, 2-1 up on the Apostle Peter. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Peter is saying that God has put stuff in the bank for you, an inheritance that can't be touched. It will never depreciate. Northern Rock won't go bankrupt again and cause you to lose it. You have a heavenly inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. It is untouchable, invincible. And this inheritance is not monetary. It's the things that you deeply desire. It's unconditional love, peace, joy, freedom, purpose. These are the things that are yours to keep, to have now and to keep forever. This is why we call it the gospel. Gospel means good news. This is the good news of Christianity, that the things that you deeply desire are there on offer. So Peter talks about an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Peter is talking as a man who knows that no matter what you do, God won't stop loving you. God won't write you off. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. How did he get to that point? How did he reach the point where he thought, you know what? It doesn't matter what I do. God will never leave me. God will never disqualify me. God will never eradicate me. Let's look at Peter's story. Because actually, a lot of characters in the Bible we don't hear very much about, but we know loads about Peter. And we hear lots about Peter in the Gospel of Matthew and lots in the Gospel of Luke, and they say different things about him, but they all agree, they all form this amazing picture of a failure redeemed by Jesus to be the foundation of the church. If it wasn't for Peter, I wouldn't be talking to you now, and you wouldn't be listening. So let's look at Peter's story. The message of this is that you are never written off. It doesn't matter where you think you are, how bad you think you are, how unloved you think you are, how angry with God you are, how angry with you think he is. You're never written off, and the best is yet to come. So, in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, Jesus meets Peter for the first time. He's a fisherman, Peter is. And Jesus says, come with me, and I'll make you a fisher of men. I'll help you to fish for people. Now, it's interesting because Jesus doesn't come to him and say, oh, I know you're a fisherman, but really you should be a baker. I'll help you to bake men. Jesus uses the gifts that are already in Peter. God has given you gifts, and they're not accidental. Whatever your gifts are, and they're many, they're not an accident. You are not just a random bunch of molecules that the cosmos, that the universe has accidentally burped out. You were created with just a real sense of wonder by a creator who loves you and says you're worth dying for. So Peter follows Jesus. The thing is that following Jesus and being really close to him doesn't make us immune from harm or attack or danger. The Bible isn't always very reassuring about the stuff that can happen to you, but it's incredibly reassuring about the stuff that can happen in you, regardless what's happening to you, regardless of what's happening to you. In Luke 22, Jesus says to Peter, Peter, Satan has asked to sift you. Basically meaning, Satan has asked to have a run-up at you. He wants to try and take you out. What an incredible thing to say. Like, your great spiritual enemy wants to have a run-up at you. He wants to turn up mob-handed and take you out. And at some point, Jesus says to Satan, okay, have a run-up at my boy. Have a run-up at Peter. Give it your best shot. And we see it happen. Because when Jesus is sent off to be executed, Peter denies Jesus three times. His great friend, his great Lord. And three times he says, no, I don't know him. Like, what? I don't know him. Three times. Satan had a run-up, and Peter didn't stand firm. He gave in, he lost. He was sifted. He was taken out. Jesus had said to Peter in Matthew 16:24, if you want to be my disciple, deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. But Peter didn't deny himself. He denied Jesus. He didn't initially pick up his cross. He ran from the cross. He was a coward. And he was a failure. And bear in mind, also, previous to that, Peter had said two things. He'd said, Jesus, nothing bad could happen to you. And even if it does, I'll stay with you. So he was a liar as well. He was a coward, a failure, and a liar. This is the guy that Jesus said, I'll build my church on you. It's not a good start for Peter. But then there's redemption. Because the whole Bible is about redemption, is about God never giving up on us and always being willing to put right what once went wrong, like Quantum Leap. God is the greatest crisis manager of all time. If you're a struggling Premiership side lingering just above relegation, you want to bring in the Lord and he'll steady the ship. We see Peter's redemption in John 21. Peter says to his mates, I'm going fishing. He's going back to doing what he did before this whole love affair and adventure started. He's going back to what he knows. So he goes fishing. But even then, he's rubbish at it. They go out fishing, they're there all night, and they don't catch anything. That's his job, that's his thing. He can't even do that. He can't even fish for fish, let alone fish for people. And then in the morning, they see this guy on the beach, and it's Jesus. And Jesus says, guys, have you managed to catch anything? Haven't you any fish? They say, no. And Jesus says, well, put your net on the other side. And just one little change of direction changes everything. Repentance just means turn around. And all they're doing is turning their net around, changing direction, changing their mind. And the net gets filled with fish. At this point, they realize that it's the Lord. And Peter gets out of the boat and swims and runs towards him. Now, again, there's a lovely redemption there, because in Matthew 14, it's the one where Jesus walks on water and Jesus says, Peter, come to me. Come across the water to me. And Peter thinks it's a ghost. They say, oh, it's a ghost. And Peter does get out of the boat, but he starts to doubt and he starts to sink. Here, even though Jesus has died and now been resurrected, even though he's got good reason to think it might be a ghost, he doesn't. He knows it's the Lord. And he gets out of the boat and he doesn't walk on water, but he's not bothered. He's not bothered. He's got to the place where he just thinks, you know what? I'm all in now. I'm all in. So they get to the shore. And Jesus says, come and have breakfast. You've been denied three times by the person you selected to be your top boy. Like, he left you and you're making him breakfast on the beach. What kind of Lord would do that? What kind of God would do that? Well, there's one God who would do that. His name is Jesus. He says, come and have breakfast. And he's already cooked them breakfast and it was fish. Like the thing that they've been trying and failing to catch all night, Jesus has already prepared for them. He went ahead of them. And the thing that they couldn't do in his strength, they could do. And then after breakfast, Jesus says to Peter three times, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Three affirmations to match the three rejections. At each point where Jesus asks, do you love me? And Peter says, yes. Jesus is symbolically eradicating and redeeming the three rejections. Jesus is not in a mood. He's not passive aggressive. He's not social distancing from Peter. He hasn't said, well, I'm done with you. You're no good to me. He meets Peter and he calls him out, if you like, but to redeem it, to restore it, to overturn it, to bring redemption and new hope, the living hope that Peter goes on to talk about in his first letter. And then after that, Jesus says, follow me. Just that. He doesn't tell him off. He doesn't keep raising the fact that Peter denied him. He just says, follow me. From this point onwards, from now, starting from now, you follow me, says Jesus. And that's where the Gospels end. That's the end of the Gospels. What a great way to end, with the risen Jesus making breakfast for you on the beach. After everything that Peter had done, and he was a failure, he was a complete moron. Most of the disciples were idiots. After all of that, Jesus still builds his church upon the rock. Peter means rock. He says, upon this rock I will build my church. But you know what? Rocks don't just form out of nothing. Rocks form over time via a process of melting, cooling, eroding, compacting, and deforming. Rocks are forged through those different processes. But that's where you get the rock, that really strong substance that you can build stuff on. But it doesn't happen by accident. You know, sometimes It's our brokenness that leads to strength. We are not strong. You are not stronger than you think. You're just as weak as you fear. I know I am, maybe even weaker. But the Bible says, you know, where we are weak, he is incredibly strong. And it's his strength that we can draw on. If we try and do things in our own strength, well, we can't. Even the stuff that we're good at, we can't do on our own. Even great fishermen can't fish just in their own strength. But you listen to Jesus, you come to Jesus, and just one change of direction, and he'll redeem it. It's like when you're building muscle, not that I really have any, but you build muscle by tearing muscle. Brokenness is not something to be desired, but it's how we grow often. Jesus isn't worried about letting you take a few wounds spiritually, but by his wounds, your wounds are healed. And this is why we call it the gospel. So that's Peter. That's Peter. And so what's the message? The message is, for you today, you're not written off. You're never written off. It doesn't matter how much of a failure you think you are, or how much of a failure you actually might be. Jesus would say to you, come. Come to me, let's have breakfast. And let's talk about where we go from here. Follow me, he would say. And he'll use your gifts. Not only that, he'll redirect your gifts. And he'll even redirect your weaknesses. You see, if Peter hadn't doubted the first time he got out of the boat, he wouldn't have had the confidence the next time. If Peter hadn't learned from his denials, he wouldn't have been able to go on and preach the gospel with such power and fervor. Even your weaknesses are redeemable. And you know, it says in Romans, the book of Romans, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. The gifts that you have, the many gifts that you have, and they are many, and the desires of your heart that God has placed there, they're still up for grabs. It's not game over. God hasn't changed his mind about you. He loves you. And he's the greatest man manager and crisis manager of all time. And all you need to do is come to him and say, yes, I love you. Yes, I'll follow you. Because I need you. I need your strength. Lord, I am weak. But where I am weak, you are strong. His strength is made perfect in weakness. It's not just pretty good. It's perfect in weakness. To end, in Peter's first letter, 1 Peter 2, he's speaking to persecuted Christians. He says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. He realizes that. The journey he's been on has given him that confidence. And I would say to you today, you are God's special possession. You're not written off. You're not disqualified. You belong to the God who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And the best is yet to come. And if that's not good news, then I don't know what is. Have an amazing day.